Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Thank you, Lord. Well, great to be with you here this morning. This Palm Sunday, as Jada said, I've been planning and have been sharing on knowing God. It's part of our tagline here at Awake, know God, take action. And so knowing God, I felt like was supposed to be a bit of a theme throughout this year. And so I'm going to continue. This will be our third part of kind of a series, in a sense, of talking about knowing God. And it is the privilege of our lives to get to know God. It's His desire also to know us, and that we would know Him, God of the universe, allowing Himself to be known. Nothing like it. There's no other religion. There's nothing. There's no little g God anywhere that reveals Himself, that wants to be known, and that lives inside of those who follow Him. We get to have God live inside of us. We get to know Him. And it's an incredible thing. When Jesus was here on the earth, He shared so many stories and parables, what we call parables, stories. And He was taking the natural things that we understood and could see and were used to handling and dealing with on a daily basis, and He was sharing spiritual realities, that these natural things were speaking of something even greater. But the natural thing would help us understand what He's saying so that we could participate in that spiritual reality. He did that over and over and over. And so one of those stories that He shared, I want to share today just to reemphasize as we can dive in and learn about what He's talking about, as well as engage Him in ways that maybe we haven't before. You know, Jesus invited us to live a new way. Not to just know about a new way. There's a huge difference, and I would say in the Christian church worldwide, probably particularly in the West, there's a huge difference between knowing a whole lot about Christian things and knowing God. You know, what religion is, in many ways, religion is knowing about God, but not knowing Him. We don't want to be religious in that sense. We want to take Him up on His invitation to really know Him. To really know Him. Not just knowing about Him. Not just checking off things, even of good acts and service and being a good person. Say, yeah, check that box. Yes, been there, done that. That is not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about knowing God Himself. Following Him wherever He goes, letting Him live on the inside of you, getting to know Him, and doing the things that He wants us to do through His power, through His ability, not our own. And so we are forever on this journey. I'm in this journey. What I'm about to talk about today is something I have been pursuing for a long time and am still pursuing, even working on memorizing all this right now. In addition, I want this to be so real. I believe that this passage is, well, it's one of two of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But I also believe that it is so absolutely vital and important to God. I think it's one of His favorites too. So before we get there, let me mention this one. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23, this is in the Passion, this one. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into heaven's kingdom. It is only those who persist in doing the will of my heavenly Father. On the day of judgment, which is also a reward ceremony for those who are in Christ, many will come and say to me, Lord, Lord, don't you remember us? Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons and do many miracles in your name? But I will have to say to them, go away from me, you lawless rebels, I've never been joined to you. That is a sobering passage, and it is also one that indicates this amazing invitation to be joined to him. The invitation by God himself to be joined to him. That's what we need to be aiming for, is that joining with him, not just knowing about him, not just doing good things for him. We want that, let that be an overflow of our being joined to him. Jesus is about us being united with him spiritually. This is the new way to live. Paul said in Romans 13, 14, put on the Lord Jesus. And then in Galatians 2, 20, he said, it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Christ lives in me. I'm not living anymore. Jesus is living in me. And so this united fashion of living, Jesus explains a bit of how we do this and the mindset related to this. So let's just go ahead and, if you have your Bibles, if not, we've got it up on the screen, John 15. John chapter 15. This would, there are many themes in my life. This is one of them that has resounded over and over, is this chapter. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So right off the bat, he uses an analogy, a picture of a natural vine. This is a grapevine that he's talking about, where you get wine. Jesus used this, and he says, I am the true vine, that part that comes out of the ground and splits in two, and all of the fruit come from it. So he's also said he's the true vine, which means that there's probably some false vines. He's the true vine. He's the life force. There are lots of different vines in the world, lots of different places that people get joined to. But there's one true place to get joined to. I was just over the last couple of weeks, I got tangled up with a vine that you're not supposed to touch even. Yeah, I've got poison ivy all over my arms, my legs. That's the lousy vine to get around. It's poison. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. There are lots of poison vines. There's stuff that's going to cause you to bubble up and scratch, itch, and things that are never going to satisfy. But I'm the true vine. If you get joined to me, there's going to be some good fruit that comes out of this. And then he says in this one verse here that his Father's the vine dresser. His Father, Jesus is the vine. We are joined to him, and then the Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who is trimming and pruning and pulling up and tying off or binding to something stable. He's doing all of these things. He's the one who's actively at work in our lives to help us. Removing the things that are dead, taking away things that we don't need to have, and helping all along the way as we are connected to him. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, the Father does. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. In the Passion it says, he cares for the branches connected to me by lifting and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. So the Father's working in our lives as we stay connected to Jesus to take away things that need to be gone and helping prop up the weak places in our lives also. He's helping us with all of those things. Incredible. Sometimes those things that get taken away are relationships that are not going to bear good fruit. Sometimes they're mindsets, thinking that's wrong. You're going to snip some thinking off. The thinking that's not kingdom thinking, thinking that it's selfish thinking. He's at work in us as we allow him to do some snipping and pulling up and helping. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Interesting moment to switch away real quickly and say, you are already, starts talking about cleanliness. You're already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. seems like an odd time to talk about it, but I do think that some of the cleansing has to do with the pruning. So speaking of what the Father, through the words of Jesus, he's saying, my Father is pruning your thoughts. He's helping you think a new way. He's already cleansing you. He's changing things just through the word. And I'm telling you what, the words of God that we have, there is a pruning that takes place. There are things that help shape the way that we think as we read the word. This is why we need to devour it and eat it and love it and read it. The word of God, the Father does work as we're reading. So the words of God have already cleansed, he says. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. He introduces a word that is really not used a lot in all of the Bible, but Jesus is about to use this 10 times in 11 verses. This word abide, he unveils it. Abide in me. This is terminology that no one's ever heard of before at this point. This is a little bit, I'm sure the disciples are sitting there scratching their heads a little bit. What are you talking about? Abide in you. What does that mean? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus is saying, unless you are connected and joined to me, you will not be fruitful. You really can't do anything lasting, anything that is fruitful is not going to happen unless you're joined to me. Jesus is announcing, he's letting them know this, and that he's the true vine to be joined to. Now, think about the people he's talking to. Of course, he's talking to us as well right now. But in that moment, he's talking to men who have already left everything to follow him. They've already been following him around. They've already been adhering to his ways and listening to him and taking action, all of those things. But he's inviting them into something new, something different than just following him. He's saying there's a spiritual connection. There is an abiding that I'm inviting you to have to plug into me. Doesn't make much sense, but he's using this vine terminology to help us see what in the world he's talking about. The word abide means to remain, stay, and not to leave. It means to live in. Typically, that word is used related to lodging or our home. Like you abide at your house. You go there every day. Most days, unless you're on a trip somewhere, you go back to your house every day. You abide there. And you keep leaving it too, but you come right back. And you remain there. You sleep there. You have meals there. You have conversations there. You invite people over to there. Your home is the place that you remain. Jesus is saying, I want me to be that for you. The places you keep coming back to and living within, finding your rest in, finding your nourishment in, finding your peace in, finding your sense of joy in, all of that, Jesus wants to be that for us. That's why he's also our Sabbath rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. It's not a day, it's him. He wants us to abide in him, to somehow make the mind shift from being a follower to living in, from being a follower of his words and his ways to now being joined to him. That's an entirely different way of living. I mean, when you think of yourself, think about this for a moment. When you think of yourself as a Christian and who you are and your identity, do you think of yourself joined to God, or do you think of yourself a follower of God? This is what Jesus is wanting to adjust for all of us. To not just think of yourself as a follower, even not just as a son and a daughter, even though you are, but someone joined, actually joined to him, to Jesus, which is incredible. How about this? Another scripture backs this up, what Jesus is unraveling here and revealing. 1 Corinthians 6:17, Paul says, but the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's a scripture. That's not someone making something up. This is what Jesus is talking about. You and I have the permission and invitation to join ourselves to God and become one with him. This is mind-blowing, honestly. What Jesus is revealing here is mind-blowing. It's a completely different mindset than a religious mindset. I'm over here, God's over there, I'm following some principles. This is God saying, I'm here, you're there, come join yourself to me. And we'll be one spirit together. I mean, it sounds almost blasphemous. But it's the very invitation that Jesus gives to every follower of his, to abide in him, to join yourself to him and become one with God. That doesn't mean that you are God, but you're one with him. Beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. We can spend the rest of our life on this verse and this passage, honestly. It's a beautiful thing. It speaks of a life union with Jesus. And it's the only place where true fruitfulness happens. True fruitfulness, the kind of fruitfulness that lasts forever. The fruit that endures for all time only happens as we're abiding in him, as we're connected to him. I can produce a lot of fruit, but some of that fruit doesn't last very long. Some of that fruit isn't the best quality. The best quality fruit is when I'm abiding in him. And his life flows through me. A few years ago, I've shared this story before, I did a private tour with a couple of pastors to a vineyard in Napa Valley, California. Now, I've done a few before throughout over the years, but this one was really unique. It was an incredible tour, and the tour guide that was supposed to be there wasn't there that day. So the guy who stepped in was the vigneron, I think that's how you say it, which means vine dresser. So basically the father person stepped in and led the tour. Now this was an entirely different tour because he's the one who was tending the vines and grafting and taking care of them. So he knew everything about the vineyard. And so as he leads us on this tour, I felt as though I'm having an encounter with Jesus. I really did. This chapter came to life in ways I've never seen it before. And I it felt almost like I was in a vision, but it was a real thing of what God was revealing to me as this vigneron was taking us through. So if we could put up that first slide. There's a vine. It's not really attractive. You know, it's just a vine coming out of the ground. It's going to produce grapes. But actually, the vine doesn't. The branches, what's called the branches, do. But this is, Jesus called it a vine. In modern vine terms, this is a trunk. They would call that a trunk. Now, it comes out of the ground. Sometimes it might be 1 or 2 years old. Could be decades old. Some of the more mature fruit come from vines that are very old. In fact, there's some that are muscadine vines on the coast of North Carolina that have been here for a couple hundred years. So this mature vine's coming out. This trunk is coming out. And then, next slide. Then there are the branches. Interesting. These don't look like much either, actually. These, are, as you may or may not know, so many different kinds of wine produced by different grapes, so many different kinds of grapes. You got the Syrah, and you got the Cabernet, and you got the Merlot, and you got all these different grapes. And each grape has a little different flavor, has its own style. But the dynamics of that grape are hidden within each of these are called buds or branches. Jesus called them branches. But apart from a vine, this is what they are. They really don't produce anything in this state. They are just hanging around. But packed on the inside of them is huge potential to produce fruit and unique fruit. I mean, each one of these could have a different type of grape that will come out of it, but you have no idea just looking at it. Only when it is connected to the vine does it produce. Otherwise, it's just a branch. And so Jesus is using this terminology as he's speaking. And apart, obviously, from the vine, that thing can do nothing. This is what Jesus says about you and I right there. There you are. Just right there. Okay, let's go to that next slide. And then when this tour leader is explaining this to us, and he gets to this part, is where I really started to fall apart on the inside. He says, let me share with you about grafting. He says, and he explains the different grapes that they're growing there, and he says, we got this grape from this other location. We were so excited to get it here, and here's how we did it, is you go up to a mature trunk or mature vine, and you cut it off. You cut it off all the way. And he said, you let it bleed out. You let it bleed out. And that's the picture. That's what the very top is what is called in vine terms, that's blood. The blood of the vine. That's exactly what he said to me. You let it bleed out. And then what you do to graft is you cut a hole in the side of the vine. This is exactly what he says. You cut a hole in the side of the vine after it bleeds out. And then, well, this is the after picture. This right here is a grafted vine. So then you take one of those little twig-looking things, the branch or the bud, you sharpen it, and the hole that you carved out, you jam it in that hole. And then you tape it up. And that taping up is called, and where it's joined, is called the union. So it's now united with the vine. The vine's been cut off and seemingly killed. It bleeds out, cut a hole in its side. You jam yourself in there. And there's a union between that branch and the vine. And it's wrapped up. It's taped up. Let's go ahead and go to the next one. It's just another picture, as you can see, in the side, where the branch is placed, and it's already producing leaves at this point. And then lastly, there's what happens. Now, look at that picture. He said this as he's taking us on this tour. He said, when we do this with a mature vine, and we take a branch or a bud from wherever, he said, if it's a mature vine and we do that, in 1 year, it produces mature fruit. 1 year. You don't have to wait 20 years for it to mature. The vine is the one providing the juice of maturity for the branch. The juice of the vine gives life to the branch, and whatever's inside the branch produces fruit. It is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Mature fruit in one season because of the vine. Just beautiful. And then as he's saying this, I can see what Jesus is saying. All of these things. Let's keep reading here. John 15:6. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And when I did this tour, we were driving through, there's so many, there are hundreds of vineyards in Napa and Sonoma, and I saw big piles of branches. I mean, probably this high. Big piles. They're about to burn them. That vineyard had clipped those off, put them in a big pile, and they're going to burn them. This is the picture that Jesus shares here, which I think sometimes there can be branches that get bitter in heart. They can find their identity in so many other things other than the vine. The true vine, in their occupation, in clubs, or they can be joined to false missions. They can be joined to the mission like of tearing other people down. I know there are many, many Christians, and their sole job feels like is the deputy to go destroy any other Christian that's not believing like they're believing, or those kind of things, false things. They get cut away, thrown away. Verse 7, if you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. If you abide in me, if you're joined to me, we have a union. My juice is flowing into you, giving you life. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. I can't think of another promise in the Bible like that. Ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. When there's a joining with Jesus, we're one with him and he with us, and we're making that intentional action of being joined with him every day, and he and me, your prayers, your requests will also change, and they will be the prayers and requests and the desires of the one you're joined to, and he answers those prayers. All those prayers are answered. That's an incredible promise. Verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. How is the Father glorified? By us bearing fruit. In other words, one step back, by us being joined to Jesus. By me abiding in him, remaining, staying, not leaving, living in him, joined with him, he in me and I in him. It's not Matt doing things, it's Matt in Christ. And Christ in Matt. When I am doing that, fruit is going to come out of me just automatically. There's going to be fruit. And that fruit glorifies the Father. The fruit of our lives of being joined to Jesus glorifies the Father. And we will bear much fruit. Verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. So he's saying to abide in something else. His love that he has for us. Abide in the love of Jesus. Just as the Father loves me, Jesus says, I love you. I love every single one of you. I want you to abide, live and remain in that love as you abide and remain in me. My love and me. Live there. Stay there. Don't leave there. If you ever feel like you're not loved, get back to the place where you are. That's a lie if you feel unloved, if you feel separate, if you feel like a branch not connected to anything, get joined to Jesus and stay in his love. It's something that I try to do every day, honestly, and oftentimes if I'm feeling wonky on the inside, I remind myself to get back into the love of Jesus. He loves me. I said it this morning. I said, he loves me. I'm living out of his love. That's the great secret of Jesus, I believe, in fulfilling his will, the Father's will on the earth in 3.5 years perfectly was living in his Father's love. And Jesus is saying, you can live in my love and fulfill the will of Jesus by living his love. The house we live in right now came with a hot tub. We weren't sure that we were gonna love it, but we do. It's outside on our deck, built into the deck actually, and we've been there 10 years now, and we're in that hot tub, especially when our kids are all home. We're now empty nesters, first week. But when our kids are all home, they are in that thing every day. Every day, when it's hot outside, when it's cold outside, they love that thing. And when I slip into that hot tub, it is amazing. And I was thinking of that imagery when I'm in there. It feels so good, especially if it's cold outside. It feels so good. That's like slipping into the love of Jesus. I'm going to remain in that. Let it touch every part of who I am. His love surrounding my spirit, surrounding my body, surrounding my mind. The love of Jesus. I'm living, and you said, never leave this. So I'm staying in the hot tub of your love every day. If you find yourself out of that place, get back in. Becky, you don't shrivel up in this one. This is the place where you are energized. This is the place where everything is okay. It doesn't matter what anybody says or thinks of you. Because you're living in his love. Who cares if other people don't love you? I'm living in the love of Jesus. Jesus said, stay there. Stay there. And make sure you stay joined to me. Don't pull out. Don't go your own way. Don't walk your own path. Stay joined to me. And then verse 11, these things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. He's saying all of these things so that we can have the joy that is in him. Jesus is full of joy, you know that? He's jam-packed full of joy. And when we abide in him, his joy is transferred to us. So much that it starts to overflow. If you find yourself out of joy, you've probably found yourself having stopped abiding in Jesus at some point. Because you cannot stay joined to Jesus and not have joy. And I need his joy. I need his joy. His joy. There's power in his joy. Isn't that right? There's strength, the Bible says, in the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And how we have joy is abiding in him, living in him. And it's not doing things to please him. It's by faith joining myself in spirit with him. It's his invitation, taking him up on his invitation. How many people take Jesus up on his invitations to join themselves to him and let the juice of his vine flow and rush through the branch that's now joined to him. That's what he desires. Okay, that's enough for today. It's a wonderful thing, and we're going to keep exploring how in the world do we join and abide and live in Jesus. He wants to abide in you and you in him every single day, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our thinking.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.